Yeah, and I really appreciate you doing this and, responding to my email.
Yeah, sorry, but I took so long. Like, I'm not always great when it comes to emails. I'm so bad with them. I'm trying to get better. My wife tells me all the time, like, just make sure you check your stuff. Make sure you check your DMs. I'm terrible. So I apologize. It took so long.
Well, and I'm sure you probably have multiple emails too, right? For both work and then like for your
Even my work emails, I don't check those very often either. They're like, oh, we have a department meeting. I'd be like, since when? If I check your email, I'd be like, oh no.
Yeah. And what grades do you teach, by the way?
10th grade.
Okay, 10th grade.
Yeah, I have five periods total. Four of them are 10th grade, and then one's like class elective for seniors.
Okay. And were in your teaching career, was that is that the only grade you've taught, or have you taught other?
At my old school, I taught 9th grade, and then when I came here, I was 11th grade, and with a sprinkle of 10th grade, but now so now it's mostly 10th grade.
Okay, nice. And this is in New Jersey. Is
Yes,
that
West
correct?
Windsor Plains Borough School District.
Okay. You're like originally born and raised from New Jersey too? Okay.
Somerset County, Somerset, New Jersey.
Okay. How do you like New Jersey, compared to other states you've might have lived in?
No, it's the best. I mean, when we lived in Wisconsin, we liked it. People were very, very polite. That they would stop and say hello to you. It's a popular trope. People in the Midwest, like you pass them on the street, they say hello. They actually do. You know what I mean? They were super polite, but it was just so cold all the time. My rookie year, I remember I was there after the season ended. We came back for OTAs and mini camp, and May 1st, I remember May 1st. Oh my God, it's May, and it was still snowing. I cannot live here. And then Oakland, California, that was okay. It was just like all our family, were in New Jersey, right? So like even calling them, the time difference and whatnot, was a bit of a hassle. You know what I mean? So we were happy to kind of go home, back to our familiarity, not pump our own gas, stuff like that.
I bet though, doesn't New Jersey does get still pretty cold, right?
Yeah, so it'll have like it's weird. So you'll have every season, right? You'll have fall, autumn, winter, summer and spring, and like you'll have one week in the summer where it's like a heat advisory. It'll be like 99. It'll be the lowest, and the same thing in the winter. Like in January or February, it'll be like a frost advisory. It'll be super cold. It'll be like the highest it'll get today. It'll be like 4 degrees. You know what I mean? But usually, hovers around 30s in the winter, 20s, and then the summertime, like low 90s, high 80s. So, you have everything you need. But like in Wisconsin, it was always cold. Right, like Louisiana, for training camp rookie year, it was always hot. You know what I mean? So, guy, we like it here.
Yeah, that's where I'm located in Michigan, and that kind of describes our weather too. It's very, very
Right.
cold.
My brother did his undergrad work in Michigan, actually.
Okay,
Ann
nice.
Arbor, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's where I went to school at University of Michigan.
Right. Oh,
Yeah.
awesome. Okay.
Yeah, and with that, Joe, I'm going to give you a proper introduction for everybody out there listening. Hi, my name is Chris. This is Chitash, and today I'm joined by Joe Porter, YouTube personality, former professional athlete, teacher. Joe, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
For people who ask, what you do or what your YouTube channel is about, how would you describe like the content that you create?
I try to do things that uplift, right? I try to do things that help people learn from my experience, learn from what I've kind of been through. And I try to just, give them like authentic stories. A lot of times you'll hear, ESPN or, you'll see like a Netflix documentary about, a high level athlete that everyone knows. And, but most of the, day-to-day experiences from the guys on a lower level, I think are kind of invisible. So I try to say, look, like, this is not like the glitz and glamour. Like, this is not what you think. Like, you don't, play on Sundays and then all of a sudden, money rains from the sky. So I try to give them like, a different perspective, if you will, from the dominant narrative.
With your professional athletic career, Going back to maybe when you were younger, did you always have a feeling, or did you always know that that's kind of what you wanted to strive for, was to play professional football?
I mean, it was always a dream, but you know what I mean? It's when you're a little kid, 7, 8 years old, like, you know, when you turn 18, it might as well be 100 years. So I always thought it'd be cool, you know, to play professional football, play on Sundays, you know, even play on Saturday. Really, I thought it'd be cool to play on Friday night in high school. You know what I mean? So I always thought it could happen, it might happen, but it wasn't like I was like a child prodigy. Like I was scoring 20 touchdowns in the season type thing. Like I was a late bloomer, you know what I mean? So I thought it could happen. I thought, you know, I want to happen. I wasn't sure, really sure if it was going to happen.
When was there a moment where everything sort of clicked and you finally, like, you realized, oh gosh, like this, I can play in the league. Like, this actually might happen. Like, did that happen maybe high school or college, something like that?
It happened in college. So my freshman year, I played a little bit, mostly special teams. I didn't get a ton of repetitions on defense. My sophomore year, I actually started the season, and I started every game that season. I ended up leading the conference, and for a good part, most of the NCAA interceptions. I had 5 interceptions, and like that was the lead number for a while. So I said, "Wait, hold on, maybe I might be able to, you know, I might be able to do this, right?" And one thing I would do, I would look at, you know, guys in my position in the NFL. I would see how big they are, see how tall they are, see how fast they are, you know, and see their college statistics. And I thought, you know, I was a little bit shorter, but I thought everything else, I was pretty comparable, if, you know, if nothing else. So I thought, hey, maybe I might be able to play, you know. So as my sophomore year matriculated and it came to an end, then I became, you know, even more like, okay, I'm probably going to play on Sunday at some point.
Wow. And where did you attend college again?
Rutgers University in New Brunswick, New Jersey.
And were these the years like pre-Big Ten when Rutgers joined the Big Ten?
Oh, yes. That Big Ten was a bloodbath. So we would play Michigan State, Illinois, and, you know, we beat Illinois, we beat Michigan State. I think there was one more, but like not like the big ones, like not Penn State, not Ohio State, certainly not Michigan, not Iowa, not Wisconsin, like not like the, you know, the headbusters, like the, you know, like some of the scraps, you know. And we could beat them, and Eric Gope, we thought, oh my gosh, we beat Michigan State, we must be able to beat Michigan. But no, like this is the old Big East, right? Then the Big East, it was competitive. Like Pitt was there, Miami was there for a while, Virginia Tech was there, Louisville came in, Boston, West Virginia was there. So our conference, that conference was tough. But we didn't play against, like, you know, the elite schools, you know?
What was the major decision that went into you choosing to go to Rutgers over other schools?
Oh, that was my scholarship offer, point blank. Like, my brother, he ended up being, like, an Olympic-level hurdler. He went to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and he had offers from everywhere, like Tennessee, South Carolina, Florida State, Florida, right? You know, a lot of local schools, what have you. So he had a bunch of offers, but like I only had the one offer from Rutgers. And what happened was, going to my senior year, like college football, college camps over summer are very, very important. So, you know, coaching can see you, you know, up front in the drills, things like that. So I went there. I ran a really good 40-yard dash. I had some good one-on-one drills. Then they offered me. It was an early offer, so it was like in July. So I said, all right, well, if I commit now, you know, it's insurance policy. I'll have this, and then other offers will come through, right? I'm thinking I'm going to have a good season. Other offers are going to come through. No other offers. I had some interest, some strong interest. I think Central Michigan was close to offering, right? Maybe Boston College was close to offering. Virginia was close to offering. But I didn't have anything ironclad, and Rutgers was iron. So I was like, well, you know, by order of elimination, I only have one. So I guess that's where I'm going, you mm-hmm. know? So it wasn't like a long thought process.
Was it helpful going to Rutgers and kind of being like closer to where you grew up, closer to home? Did that kind of help the transition?
Oh, definitely. I mean, like, because I'm a notorious, you know, non-preparer, right? So I only brought like 2 suitcases to my dorm room, because I would go home often to get, you know, if I needed to do laundry, if I needed to, get some money from my parents, whatever. I would, like everybody I knew was my family was still home. My girl, my girlfriend, my wife now, but girlfriend at the time, she went to Rutgers. So like, I didn't have to, like, you can see Rutgers Stadium from my high school bedroom window. Like, that's how close it was. So like, it wasn't much of a transition. It was like going to high school again.
Wow, yeah, that's super close. That's kind of similar to my situation. I live very close to University of Michigan. So, with college and then turning professional, did you any declare for like the NFL as like a prior to your senior year, or did you declare, or did you end up in the NFL like after your senior year of college?
So what happens is, once you like hire, because like up until you accept compensation or things like that, like you're considered an amateur, right? So like once you kind of sign with an agent, at that point you're a professional. So you'll be talking to them, maybe like they'll reach out to you during your senior year, like actually during the season. But when the season's over, you're officially allowed to kind of sign with an agent. So when we played Kansas State in December, and then I think I signed with the agent maybe like a week later. And all it is basically like it's like you're recruited again. So like they come to your house and they'll tell you what they're gonna do for you and X, Y, Z, and then you sign a piece of paper, giving them either 3% or 1%. In my case, 3%, of your contract, and that's it.
How is it navigating, like selecting agents, and are there certain like things that you're looking for when you're speaking to different people who want to try to
Right.
represent you?
I mean, it really comes down to like, I mean, this is a very subjective, decision because you have to feel these guys out. Because some of them are just, snake oil salesmen. They're going to tell you, listen, I'm going to get you a $20 million contract. I know all the different GMs. I know the head coaches. Like, we'll get you on a team. But in my situation, like being realistic, like I knew I was not getting drafted to your last question. Like, I knew I was not getting drafted. I thought maybe in the later rounds, like the sixth or seventh, maybe, but like I probably not gonna get drafted. So if you can just help me get me on a team, and what helps also is like they have a track record. Like, look, I have, 15 guys already, eight of them were guys like you, and I got them all on teams and whatnot. But a lot, you gotta fill it out because people just come to your house and say anything. You know what I mean? It's like recruiting. Like they're gonna go in the kitchen and say, oh, what's your mom making? Oh, okra? My grandmother used to make okra and she, da, 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 like they're not. They're just telling you things. You know what I mean? So, a lot of people sounded good, but I went with somebody I felt, my mom liked, my dad liked, and that's what I made my decision with.
I was actually just about to ask you that if the decision that you make, or really kind of a lot of the decisions you made as a professional, are you also including, like your wife, your like other family to kind of get input into like the best possible choice?
Right. Oh, definitely. I mean, my dad was a lawyer. God rest his soul. He was a lawyer, so his agents, they handle legal matters. So, he can ask some of those harder questions. He can ask, and you kind of speak to their experiences, and what they would do in this scenario. You know what I mean? My mom just uses her heart. You know what I mean? If she likes you or not. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people don't understand that. Like when you go recruit people, like you're recruiting the person, but like there's somebody in their life that's a power player. You know what I mean? That can really shift the athlete's heart. You know what I mean? So, my mom, she was that person. She's like, I really like this guy. This guy, I don't know so much. Moms can feel things about. Can you just snip out some bull crap? So my mom, she was there. My brother was a big part too. My older brother, he's 7 years older than me. He was a big part too. He was in a lot of meetings. And my wife now, at that point, she was my girlfriend, but my fiance. From that point on, she was involved in things as well too. So, yep.
Are there certain things that when you were initially going through these talks or negotiations that kind of surprised you or that you didn't really think about as far as like contracts and signing a contract for the
Oh,
NFL?
absolutely. So you have to do your due diligence as well. So I'll give you an example. So a friend of mine, Darnell Stapleton, we were both going to be undrafted. He actually did his research and he was really big on the Pittsburgh Steelers. They didn't draft any lineman, or rather anybody. He was a center, but anybody at his position. So he ended up signing with that team. Now he might have took a little less on a signing bonus, but like the opportunity was there, right? So me, I'm so dumb. I signed with the team that gave me the biggest signing bonus. And it wasn't like, I know you're thinking, Chris, it was like $100,000. It wasn't $50,000. It wasn't even $10,000. It was $5,000 before taxes. New Orleans Saints offered me $5,000 signing bonus. I was like, absolutely. But it was a mistake because they had already drafted two corners, one in third, one in the fifth. And they had a big free agent signing. So that's three new corners on the team in front of me. Right, I remember San Fran. The guy in San Fran was like, "Look, we're not going to offer you like we can't give you any signing bonus money, but we're going to offer you opportunity." I always think like, "Dang, I should have went to San Fran." He's like, "We only drafted one guy in the fifth round, and like you can beat him out if you kind of do your thing." I said, "Oh, I should have went to San Fran," but that's why you do your own due diligence, like things like that. Like, look at the team that's going to be there. Does this situation, does this coaching staff fit your strong suits? Right, like in Green Bay, for instance, they wanted taller corners. Right, they want cornerbacks who were 6'1", 6'2". And here I am, 5'10", you know what I mean? 5'11" on a good day, right? Like, you don't fit their type, you know what I mean? So if you go there, like, your ceiling's only but so high, right? Where if you go to a team like the Jets, that year they had drafted Darrelle Revis. Like, him and I are the same height, you know what I mean? Or maybe, I think it's like a couple of centimeters taller than me, but you know what I mean? Like, teams that actually are, they fit your style. They play man-to-man as opposed to zone, or zone as opposed to man-to-man. Right, like all those different things. Like, I was looking at dollar signs. I was a broke college kid. I said, $5,000? That's more money I've seen in my entire life. I said, absolutely. Where do I sign? You know, it was a mistake.
Your first year as a professional football player, or for really anybody's first year, is it like a wake up call, or very difficult to get adjusted, or does it kind of depend?
Yeah, I mean, certainly things are going to be different. As far as on the field things, the NFL game is different than the college game. Receivers have to get 2 feet in as opposed to getting 1 foot in, right? You know, different penalties count for different yardage, right? Things like that. But as far as like the day-to-day, it's a little bit easier in the sense that like you don't have a college class to go to. So like, your whole day can revolve around sports. But it's harder in the sense that, you know, this is essentially the highest level of your industry. Right. And in college, no matter what, like if you make a mistake in college on Tuesday or Wednesday, you'll probably be there on Thursday and Friday. Right. But in the NFL, if you make a mistake, you know, especially a guy in my position, like I'm like the last guy on the roster. You know what I mean? That could easily be your last day. So it has that added anxiety of you don't know what's going to happen in the future. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So my wife and I, you know, a few times, like we lived out of hotels. Like, we didn't really know. We didn't want to buy a house. We certainly didn't want to rent a house. We were really big on those month-to-month leases. You know what I mean? Like, we'll have a lease for this month. And if, God forbid, something happens, like, we're not tied to this agreement. But, yeah, that part, kind of like the anxiety and the high level of focus and intensity. Like, things happen so, so fast. You know what I mean? Like, to make plays in the NFL, on defense especially, you have to almost, like, guess where it's going to be. Because if you wait till you like until you react, until you see it, like where the play is, like you're already too late. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, these guys, they're too fast. They're too smart. Like, they're too good for you to just like kind of react. You almost have to like, I don't want to say guess, but we'll say hypothesize. Like, a strong feeling that the play's going to be here. Mm-hmm. And also understanding that, you know what, you won't make every play. Like, some games, you know, some plays, we always say in the NFL, like, they get paid too. It's not just you. In college, we say that they're on scholarship too, you know. So yeah, that was a big transition, you know.
And I was going to ask you, you kind of just touched on it, but is it difficult having to move a lot and sometimes like a lot in just like a short time span? Like, was that kind of difficult for you and your family?
Yeah, because like they want you. For instance, what's today, Sunday? Let's say, like, I don't know, I'm watching the Giants game, right? Let's say, you know, their starting corner gets hurt, whatever, right? They'll call you like on Monday. They assess the injury, you know, how long it'll take for that person to come back. But they'll call you on Monday, like, look, we're flying you out tomorrow morning, type thing. You know what I mean? We're flying you out tonight. So like, you know, if you're home, kind of just, you know, running different errands. Like, this happened to me my rookie year. Like, I was out the league. The Saints cut me in August, late August, and I didn't sign another contract until like November, Thanksgiving time, right? So, and I was in the mall, and they called me like, look, hey, we're putting in a flight tomorrow morning. So you got to stop everything you're doing. So if my wife wanted to go I don't know, Target that night or ShopRite or, pick up groceries. That's done now. Like everything you have to, like, you're on their whim. You got to fly out there, hope, pray to God you're in shape. You know what I mean? And so that's happened to me. Like, it was like, boom, boom. One day I was in the mall. You know what I mean? We're going shopping with my cousins and my brother. And they called me and that night. I had to kiss my fiance. I'll see you later. I'm sure I'll go out here and make this team. And that was it. Like, it happens super fast. So, like, you really got to be prepared. Like, if things go south, if things go crazy, I got to be able to move right away. So, you don't really want to get too comfortable in your city unless you sign like a big contract, you know?
When retiring as a professional, is it as simple as just saying, "Hey, like I know I'm done, I'm done," or are there things that maybe people don't think about when you announce like that, "Hey, I am retiring
Oh,
from"?
listen, I'll tell you straight. It's as simple as this. This is as simple as, unless your name is Tom Brady, unless your name is, I mean, like, I don't know, Ray Lewis, something like that. Like, you're done when the NFL says you're done. So in my case, like, the Raiders cut me in 2011. I haven't got a call back yet from any team. So that's how That's how you know it's over. When your phone doesn't ring anymore, your phone was dry, as the kids say. That's how you know. It's simple. Like, I'm still waiting on a call. That was over 10 years later, 10 years ago. I'm still waiting for somebody to call me, Maybe somebody might call me from the Saints, but that's it. It's over,
And how did then you transition into teaching from your career in football?
Teaching was something I always kind of thought I might be interested in, right? So when I was a sophomore in high school, I had a really good biology teacher. And she influenced me. I was like, I think I could be a teacher one day, right? And then, but from that point on, like, it was football, 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 football. And then when I finished, actually, you know what? My rookie year, like, when we lost to the Giants in the championship game in 2007, we had like 2 months before we had to report back to Green Bay. I was a substitute teacher in New Jersey, and I loved it. I had a great time. The kids were fun. I mean, teaching was fun. And then when I finished playing, I told myself, okay, I'm just going to be a substitute teacher until another team calls me, right? Until somebody else calls me. No one ever called me. So, substitute teaching, they said, oh, you're pretty good at this. You should think about, going and get your teaching license. And I was like, all right, well, I'll get it, which is in the short term, right? Because, the Panthers might call me, right? The Texans might call me. And then, 12 years later, I became, and that was it.
Do you ever hear things like I hear things all the time, maybe from social media or YouTube, that kids these days, like they're very difficult, they're challenging, they're entitled, and I feel like I heard the same thing when I was younger.
Of course.
But
Of course.
do you at all like experience these things, or are just kids today just kind of kids like they've always been?
Yeah, I mean, there's a quote that I use in my social studies class. And essentially, it's like from ancient, Babylon, like 10,000 years ago, something like that, like, a long time ago. And it's like, kids today are lazy, godless, entitled. Now, like, it's every generation feels that way about the next generation. Like, that's how you know you're old. Like, all these kids today, they could never survive when I was in school. Like, your parents, their parents, like, they all heard that. You know what I mean? So, that is true, like, across the board. I mean, is it true? Probably not. You look at them. I mean, that's how technology, for instance. Every generation is something else. You know what I mean? So, you guys have it easy, but do they really? You know what I mean? Like, everything, their whole lives are documented. You know what I mean? Their whole lives are regimented. It's significantly more complicated, for instance, to get scholarships. It's significantly more difficult, right? I mean, just they have so much pressure that that we didn't have, socially and certainly athletically and scholastically as well. So, I just agree with that sentiment. The kids today, they're kids. They're just like you. You know what I mean? They're running around thinking about, how they can not do this homework assignment, how they can, hang out with their friends, right? It's just like you. They have cell phones, It's just like how you were. Like, all the crap I put my parents through, I already know. Like, I was
So do you feel like compared to like when you were in high school compared to high school now, has high school itself changed at all, or is it still kind of the same as it's always
Yeah,
been?
on the surface, It's different. Like, I mean, you probably remember, like, we had like chalkboards, you know what I mean? Like the internet, it existed, but like not as far as like, the Google Classroom, for instance, wasn't a thing yet, right? Or like, the teachers do all their work in the grade book. Yeah, I mean, now everything's online. So like those things, surface level things, like the smart board, for instance, projectors, like those things have changed. But it's the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna walk into class tomorrow morning, and at 7:40, the kid's gonna be like, "Oh, do we have to do work today?" Like that kid just broke up with his girlfriend. Like that kid has, is trying to figure out like when the new Jordans come out. Like this kid is kind of concerned with what's happening in school. Like that kid has a practice today. Like it's the same thing as when you were in school. So like the bells and whistles are different, but like the overall substance of school, the actual content, like it's the same thing. You know what I mean? It's the same. Like tomorrow, I'll be teaching on the Bill of Rights, and you're gonna have some kids that's like, "Oh, women are used in real life. Why is, stuff like that." So stuff. It'll always be the same.
Now, in addition to teaching, do you also like coach football as well?
Yeah. So, I haven't coached team sports in several years, but I do train athletes. So, my website, itspeed.com, I do group sessions, individual sessions, and like in hybrid or remote sessions. So like if you say, "Hey Joe, I want to get faster for upcoming, basketball season," I say, "All right, Chris, give me all your information, your height, your weight, your experience, your whatever, and I'll make a workout for you, a running workout. And also like a lifting workout. If you're an experienced lifter, it'll be more complicated, obviously. If you're not, it'll be super basic." So I do like that. And that allows me to kind of have that one-on-one approach. So I can kind of like, okay, I can speak to your needs. Because if you, Chris and Joe are both working out together, like we have different needs. We have different strengths, different weaknesses. So what might work for me, I might respond to, might not work for you. So that's why I'm particularly out of team sports. And gotten more to more personalized. Even today, the kids have me, a lot of mental health, is a talking point now. It's a feature of American society. But the kids deal with, I think, more mental health issues than say we were dealing with, today. So that's probably why I can talk to them one on one, help them, with their with their thought processes and thinking, things like that. So.
With your speed coaching, because I've seen some of the content that you have around like getting faster or like improving speed, and is there something? Are there like certain, or maybe like one drill that you could point to? Like if somebody is asking you, "Hey, I really need help for this upcoming track season," like is there one thing that they could start doing today that maybe could improve?
So I mean, everyone's different. I mean, like one thing for you might be one thing for me, but like across the board, Chris, like you got to sprint. Like your body remembers what you're doing. So for instance, you'll see like, Tiger Woods, for instance, started playing golf when he was 2 years old or whatever, or like, Beethoven was playing 24 hours in his room locked in playing the piano type thing, right? Like if you just do the thing, like at some point to get faster, you have to sprint fast. And like not just like fast, it has to be all out as fast as you can go. Because what you'll do is, think of it like, think of the body as like, how can I say this? As like a piece of clay or like Play-Doh. So when you press it, it like, oh my gosh, what's that thing you just pressed? Like it's the stimulus, it's the stimulus, right? You're stimulating the body, and like it has to compensate for that, right? Your body is a unique organism. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm going full speed. We don't like this. What's happening? You're shocking the system. So in order to adapt, it in turn gets faster. You know what I mean? The neural impulses get stronger. Certainly your muscles and your tendons react and become, stronger or more malleable or more responsive to speed. So one thing you can do today, go out there and sprint as hard as you can. I mean, obviously, listen, disclaimer. You have to warm up, and you can't go out there just running the street. Well, Coach Joe told me to run the street. No. Sprint as fast as you can, and obviously be smart about it, warm up, things like that. But as hard as you can, for about, between, 3 and like 6, 7 seconds should be good.
Does the medium also kind of affect things? So, like as an example, I've been doing a ton of hill sprints lately. Does that kind of avenue, like running on a hill versus...
Hill sprints are great because they simulate early acceleration, right? So your body's at an angle, you know what I mean? And the hill will always put you on an angle. Like you have to be at that situation. Hill sprints are phenomenal. The only thing I would say as far as like the medium is like you have to change it up a little bit, right? So your body starts getting used to it. It's like, all right, Chris, we know what you're trying to do here, right? That's what you gotta kind of lifters call it muscle confusion. So they might go in the weight room and like bench press for like 3, 4 weeks straight. Okay, now instead of bench press, maybe let's dumbbell press or incline press. So hill sprints are phenomenal. You can like change it, make it more difficult, maybe adding more time to your sprint, adding distance, or maybe do it with like a weighted vest, something like that. You can play around with it, you know what I mean? But if you do the same exact thing, you're usually that's fine for like 3 or 4 weeks. After that, your body starts going, all right, we know what you want to do here. And then you shack with something else. Maybe like I said, maybe like add like a sled or like some other kind of resistance to it. You know what I mean? Or some yeah, my husbands are phenomenal though.
And also, what do you think about like running in the sand or on a beach?
Oh, the sand's the only thing I don't like because like the sand it's like a bed. You know what I mean? Like to really when you hit the ground, you want to be hit the ground and you want to be off as fast as you can. Like the sand, like it absorbs your force. And you can't just push as hard as you can against sand because like you'll lose the force you're applying, right? So because you can't apply it, you can't recruit it at the same time, right? You can't pick up. I mean, you understand? Like you can't use force that you're not applying, right? So like you can't jump as like for instance, if you try to jump as high as you can on blacktop versus sand, like blacktop is gonna be hard. It's obviously much easier, right? So. And the reason why I say, well, Joe is making it more difficult, it does, but also like destroys like your tendon stiffness in your Achilles. It wipes it out. So it'll get used to being on the ground for a long time. And you don't want that. Right? So you can maybe like grass is fine. Obviously turf, field turf, those things are good. Blacktop is good. But the only thing about like hard surface like blacktop is like, that's a little bit too hard. So like you'll see women a lot of times have like shin splints, things like that. But sand is definitely a no-no. You know, definitely no.
Just one or two more questions, Joe. With your YouTube channel, and I've been really enjoying like the shorts that you post, just giving like those little tidbits on your life or your experience. Are there any like sort of big plans for like other content that you're doing in the future or?
I'm just trying to listen. I'm just trying to like find like different things people find interesting. People seem to really like things like, some of the harder lessons, right? Like getting cut, like, learn taking lessons from that, like things that you don't see, some of the dark side stuff, maybe about drugs or PEDs or, women. So I'm stay tuned. Like I'm looking for some things in the future that people might find engaging. I read a lot of the comments, kind of see what people are saying, what they want a video on. But yeah, man, I just want to keep going where I'm growing. Like I don't want to give information that people don't find useful. So as long as it helps people, I keep doing it.
For people who want to connect with you, is the YouTube channel the best place, or do you also have like other?
I mean, I have a Gmail, I teach speed at Gmail. You can definitely reach out to me through my website, iteachspeed.com. You can DM me, email me in this case, I'll definitely answer. You know what I mean? I might not see it for a while, but I'll definitely answer. Yeah, I mean, I try to, people really need help out there, so I try to look, this is my experience. If it helps you, cool. If not, maybe take a lesson away from it, but definitely.
I will include links to your YouTube and then the contact as well in the description of this episode. And Joe, thank you very much for doing this.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you. It's awesome.
And good luck to your son today in the football
Oh,
game.
you're gonna need it. You're gonna need it.
And for
All right.
everybody else out there, my name is Chris. This has been Cheat Tash. Take care, everybody.